हरिः
ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्थौ मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 17, The Pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in His Youth, page 84, verse 117, 33-34. Then all the assembled gentlemen explained, "What is this? What is this? Who has performed such mischievous activities? Who is that sinful man?" They called for a sweeper, Harai, who threw all the items of worship far away and cleansed the place by mopping it with a mixture of water and cow dung. Srila Prabhupada. The men in Vedic society who engage in public sanitary activities like picking up stool and sweeping the street are called Haris. Sometimes they are untouchable, especially when engaged in their profession. Yet such Haris also have the right to become devotees. This is established by Sri Bhagavad Gita 9.32, where the Lord declares, "O son of Prita, those who take shelter of me, though they be of lower birth, women, Vaishyas, merchants, and Shudras, workers, can attain the supreme destination." There are many untouchables of the lower caste in India, but according to Vaishnava principles, everyone is welcome to accept this Krishna consciousness movement on the spiritual platform of life and thus be freed from trouble. Neither equality nor fraternity is possible on the material platform. Right, so this idea being that people want equality and fraternity, right? Well, you know, equity, fraternity. So that on the material platform is not going to happen because everybody is different. Everybody has different natures. Everyone has different interests and different abilities. It won't happen. So you can hold together some groups that have some common points. But only in the Vedic system can you hold everyone together. Right? And then to be able to move up through that nicely, then the only thing that can actually hold that together is the Vaishnava understanding. So the Daiva Varnashram, that can accommodate everybody. The Asuric Varnashram, then the problem because of the mundane consciousness, then people have an idea of, you know, what their position is and what others are, and they try to base the differences on that, rather than it's just a matter of consciousness of the living entity. And so then you have much more difficulty. But in the Vedic system, then the Daiva Varnashram, that's the only thing that can establish fraternity. And that on the material platform, it won't work. You know, it'll work somewhat. It'll work better than whatever you see these days. But it still will not work as properly as if it's on the devotional platform. So only on the devotional platform can you actually get everything to work. Because you're dealing with the living entities who, being covered by their previous activities, then are manifesting different forms. And then because of that, then they have higher and lower levels of consciousness. And that's actually the main difference. That's why they do different work. But the soul itself can have pure consciousness, even though the gross and subtle bodies may have their specific abilities. And so then one works within that capacity. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Yes. No, it's always been there. It's just a matter of who's following it nicely or not. See, the Daivavarna ashram, you don't have anything. See, the untouchable doesn't, means probably it's like you said here, that sometimes they are untouchable, especially when engaged in their profession. Right? So if they're sweeping the street and cleaning the sewers and all that, at that point they're not touchable. Because if you're going to do puja in that, you can't touch them. And they won't touch anything else. But the difference will be is if someone's a Vaishnav, then they'll go home, take a bath and everything like that, and then they take part in whatever the Vaishnav activities are. Does that make sense? Because generally speaking, someone who are the street sweepers, these untouchables, they're put in that category technically because they stay like that all the time. You know, it's not that after they've cleaned and everything, then they go home and take a bath and change their clothes and everything. They'll just go home, maybe wash their hands or something. You know, and Hari Bol. You know, so the mentality is that of an untouchable. So then they will function in that capacity. So that's what he's saying on the material platform, when people are material consciousness, you're going to see the wider range of difference. In the Daivavarna ashram, then you're only going to see basically in the elevation of consciousness. And then whatever their conditioned nature is, they'll engage that according to what their ability is. So some will have a greater ability, some less. So there's never going to be an equality there. Does that make sense? Like you see, even in the Pandavas, right? So they're all great kings, great warriors, and all that. So Yudhishthira stood out in javelin. You know, Bhima in club. Nakula and Sahadev with sword, right? And Arjuna then, you know, and then Ashwatthama was good at the, the celestial weapons, like this. But Arjuna was the best at all of those. You know what I'm saying? So you're always going to have a difference. Everybody's unique. So the conditioned nature, then that's going to be according to what it is, and that will be engaged according to what it is. But the point is doing what it's supposed to be doing, it's not seen as anything different because it's for Krishna's service. So that's what you need to use in Krishna's service. Does that make sense? So like that, if we're looking at the external, then you may make a difference between the potato peeler and the knife, right? But if you're looking at it in service to Krishna, then they both have their valid positions, right? Means you can use a knife to peel potatoes, but actually a potato peeler does a better job. You know what I'm saying? So that's it's just how it works. It's just everything does what it does in relation to Krishna. But then one has to have that transcendental consciousness to be able to really appreciate that. So in the Vaishnav community, anybody can take part in the devotional activities. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of their nature, their conditioning, how much they can take part. Does that make sense? Just like, let's say, if someone is engaged, let's say, taking up Krishna consciousness and all that, someone with a brahminical nature will very comfortably be able to do brahminical activities. But they're doing those brahminical activities not because they're a devotee, but because they have that brahminical conditioning. Does that make sense? So working in that area is very easy for them. Right? But as someone advances in Krishna consciousness, then it changes. They're doing things because of the devotional nature. So you might have someone who's a Shudra by nature, and so he likes, you know, because he's a devotee, you know, they'll offer food at home, or now and again he can dress the deities because he has that artistic kind of flair, or he can cook something for the deities, but he won't do it on a regular basis. Right, because that regularity, you know, six offerings, six artiks, you know, dressing, waking the deities, putting to rest, all day doing that, then it's going to require someone with a brahminical mentality to be able to do that all day. Right? But, you see, as that person advances in Krishna, because of their complete absorption in Krishna, then you could find that person with the Shudra conditioning could do pujari work all day. But he's not doing it coming from the brahminical platform. It's coming from the pure devotional platform. Right? But you won't see him doing the technical, let's say, Shaligram Puja or Didi installations or these kind of things, because he doesn't have the nature for that. You know, but the devotion and that the advanced aspects of it, that he can do. So that's why the Vaishnava position is so hard to understand, is because that means even the lowest person can do the highest things. It's just they can't do the things in the middle. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say that Shudra, he wouldn't be able to necessarily, like, say, teach a class, right? But when he advances in Krishna consciousness, that he's always absorbed in Krishna, he could give lectures on Krishna. But he may not be able to speak on Ayurveda and this and that and other technical things, because it's just not, you understand? So the things that require the Brahminical mechanics alone, that they can't do. The things that it's the devotion that's the main part of it, that they can do. So that's the most important aspect anyway. Does that make sense? Because how many people have to worship Shaligram? You know, it's like out of all the pujaris, one has to do it. So it doesn't matter. Does that make sense? So like that, it becomes more difficult to understand. You have to actually understand nicely the Varnashram system and nicely the devotional system to be able to actually apply Varnashram in the Vaishnav society. Because otherwise it looks confusing. And then people who don't understand the Vaishnav, they really can't understand it. Because generally it means they don't understand the Vedic system either. Right? And then those who don't come from that kind of background and don't appreciate the Vedas, they really can't understand. Does that make sense? Can woman be a teacher or not? But why? What would be the problem? Did you? But you said teacher.
Yes, about teacher.
Yeah. Yes. Let's stick to that one. See, so a teacher means what? Teacher means Brahman. So why won't there be women Brahmins? Otherwise, who do the men Brahmins marry? Means you could say in the Vedic tradition, the girls, the whole point is that the basic aspect of what they're going to be doing, Prabhupada said, is the cooking and cleaning, because that's something that maintains the house in goodness and it feeds everyone, because everybody has to eat. And if everybody's in an environment of goodness, then everybody can advance nicely. So in other words, the women set actually what the field of action is in the grihastha environment, like that. But most people will be in the grihastha environment. So it becomes a very essential point. People look down on the cooking and cleaning because they think it's a lower thing and everybody can do it. But take it from me. Out of 1,000 people, maybe one can clean. So it actually isn't that. It isn't that. You know, all the people that say it's so easy, I could guarantee you, give a broom to one of those ladies or tell them clean the room, and, you know, when you come back, you know, a 3-year-old could have done as good a job. You know what I'm saying? Somebody cleans the room nicely, let a 3-year-old into the room, and what the condition the room's in, it would be the same as if you took the dirty room and gave it to the person and said, clean it. It would get up to about the same standard. Right? So the point is how many people know how to clean? They don't. So therefore, they can't create an environment of goodness in which the family can grow up and be inclined towards goodness, which is the purpose of the Vedic culture. Brahminical culture means you're trying to get to goodness. Does that make sense? So this whole thing, of it's taken that cooking and cleaning is that, but the whole point is you bring a, you know, mostly professional ladies, bring them into a kitchen, get out a shotgun and say, cook lunch or we're going to blow your head off. You're going to have a lot of dead women. Literally. Like that. So the whole point is this thing of that. But everybody on the planet eats. And many times a day. So actually it has more application than an occupation. Right? Occupation, if you're intelligent, you don't put any more than 8 hours into it. Right? If you're too materialistic, yeah, put how much you want. But the point is you don't put that, but people are eating all day. They need a clean environment. So that's the essential point. And the point is that the feminine nature coming from the mind is expanded from the mode of goodness. So therefore, if you don't have a clean environment, their mind won't be very good. And so the woman won't be at her best unless it's really, really nice. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why you see if the women do go into these occupations, they like to go into occupations where everything is really clean and nice. But someone else is doing it. But it still has to be that kind of professional and, you know, that kind of environment where everything's very clean, very orderly, everyone's dressed nicely, because it's has the mode of goodness environment. You know what I'm saying? But the point is they can't create that themselves. That's the difficulty. So when they create it themselves, that means they're actually more independent. They're more in control of their environment. While these others, they're not. The cleaner didn't clean the conference room. They can't clean it. No one there can clean it. Not one of those professionals can clean it. Except the CEO. He could clean it because he started at the bottom. He made it to the top. But everyone in middle management, they wouldn't know which end of the broom to even pick up. You know, we're being literal here. You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is how is that more independent? Well, you can clean the room, you can do all the things, you can do it yourself, that's independent. And you can say, oh, but you know, they can't get money. Sure you can. You smile. The guy will go out and work his butt off. Now, isn't that more smart than you having to go out all day and deal with all those idiots? You only have to deal with one idiot. You know? That's the point. You get paid the same amount of money. Right? Smart. Deal with one idiot, deal with a whole bunch of idiots. Who's smart? So that's the whole thing. It's not seen in its capacity. The mode of ignorance turns everything upside down. Okay? That's just so we have the basis. Right? Okay. Right? Yeah, that's just the introduction. Now the main part, because the main part is actually the easy part. Now, according to the girl's particular individual nature, then she can learn any variety of knowledge and all that to whatever capacity she has. Right? So if she's from a Brahminical family, there's always going to be all this Brahminical stuff going on and training and education, and she'll learn however much of that she can. Does that make sense? It would be the natural thing. Let's say, you know, the father's running a Gurukul, she'll learn all the things that they're learning in the Gurukul. Right at home. Like that. If not, she can go to a relative's Gurukul, like the uncle has. She can go study there. Does that make sense? So then she knows what's going on, how to do things. Because like when you're setting up and arranging everything in the pujas and yajnas, traditionally then, if it's in the temple, big temple and that, then the pujaris are doing that. But if it's at the home and that, the women do that. Because who's going to set up and make it more beautiful? Right? The women. Some men can do it. Most can't. Does that make sense? So the women will always make it look nice. So then they'll create more of a festive environment, right? And anything that needs you to run around, then as we mentioned in the previous discussion, you have an idiot there to get that done, right? And when you have a festival, then amazingly there's more idiots. Does that make sense? And then they'll run around and get all the work done. You need banana trees, they'll go out and get it. You want to go out in the mud in the field and dig them out? No, they'll go out and do it. And then they'll come back and you say, this one goes here, that one goes there. You know, it's just not understood, because if you don't know the culture, you don't know who's in control. That's the whole thing. So where do you get more taste? In the technical knowledge or in the culture? Right? Does that make sense? Like that. So people pay money for the culture. They'll go like that. So that's the whole thing. In that environment of culture, then it works very nicely. And so the women are in control of that. So the one that has more taste, the people actually, you know, go for and this and that, that's where it goes. Right? Let us just give an example, just something for fun. Okay, you're looking at the fancy magazine, you're opening the picture and it has those 2, 3, 4 pages on some, you know, how you say, some fancy resort or some, you know, Caribbean cruise or something like that, right? Now in that, it means you're going to have the, you know, sitting on the decks, or you're going to have the spa, or, you know, the nice environments and all that. Who has to be in those pictures?
Ladies.
And what do the ladies have to be doing in those pictures? Smiling, being happy, or peaceful, or tranquil, or something. You know, you have a few guys around, because they don't want to just be there alone. Huh? Yeah, sometimes a few kids, you know, like that you have something for. But they're not going to be at the spa. You don't want the kids at the spa. Let me tell you, don't take the kids to the spa. Yeah, they don't go like that. They get a hold of that mud bath, you know, it's going to be a mess. So you just don't take the kids. So you're going to see them playing in their place, or the men standing around doing something, or it's the men and the women, or them and the family. But the one that has to be smiling is the woman. That's what sells it. Why? Why would you go on that cruise? Because she wants to go, not because he wants to go. He could sit at home, sit in his chair, and watch TV all day. And he's good, literally. Like that. You know, add a few snacks, and Haribo, perfection, you know?
Can get better than that.
Yeah, it doesn't get better than that. So, you know, so that's the thing is, the whole culture of the world goes on because there's women. If there were no women, you would have Tapaloka. Tapaloka is a bunch of brahmacharis that they come together sometimes, they talk, and then mystically they just disappear and go back to their place. And you never hear about what they do at their place because who cares? Literally. Right? You know, it's just like that, you know, even in a certain tradition, when you go to the heavenly planets, what do they talk about? There's going to be a whole bunch of benches, you know, wooden benches there with guys sitting on it. Isn't that, you know, people go out and blow themselves up to sit there with a bunch of guys on a bench, right? Or is it green embroidered couches covered with women? Green, yeah, green. Why green? I don't know.
Like
is there something about green? Green is special. Green embroidered couches. At least that's why they blow themselves up in the, you know, the Middle East over there. Other parts, I'm not sure. You know. Yeah, but it's got to be green embroidered couches. Why? I don't know. But it's green's a great color, so it's like, you know. You understand? So people are going to work because there's women there. Does that make sense? Because they'll be the ones in control there. Because the guy thinks he's in control. You think he's in control? You know, it's like what is it? I can't remember. One of the kings. I think one of the Alwars. Either one of the Alwars or one of the Mahajans. He's saying that he's the emperor. He controls life and death for the kingdom. But when he leaves that area and goes into the inner chamber of where he lives, so the women's area, then he has to bow his head, you know, to you know, that his wife will be happy, and then, you know, the interaction will be good.
Muchukunda. That's where he went to sleep.
Yeah. He's got to take a break, you know. And that's what I'm saying. That's the guy's break, is that a nap. You know, the lady's thinking, we'll go here, we'll go there. And he's thinking, I'll just have a nap. See, understand? So women are controlling the whole thing anyway. So the propaganda that's there about equality means that 90% is controlled by the women. So the equality is in the 10% of the men's area. So they want another 5%. They want the other 5%. So they get 95, the men get 5. That's equality. Otherwise, it's 90-10. But no one talks about that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, therefore, in these cultural areas, the ladies are controlling all that. But the point is that in the Vedic system, whatever is someone's strength, that's brought out. Whatever is someone's weakness, that's where a restriction is. Does that make sense? Like when it talks about the duties of men, it mentions about controlling the senses. It never says that about the women. Right, because controlling the senses is easy for women. They're into something, it happens. They're not into something, it just doesn't happen. It's a mood thing. So it's not, that's, controlling the senses isn't a problem. They're not into something, you can bring out whatever is attractive and they couldn't care less. The men, they're not interested in something, you bring something that's attractive, immediately they're distracted. So they have to learn to control their senses. Like brahmacharis, they have to be menial servants. Why? Because they will be lazy bums otherwise. They'll sit at home, their mother takes care of everything, and they will do absolutely nothing. So that's why it's there. It doesn't say the women have to be trained in menial service. Because they'll always keep themselves busy. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that if you are in that much control and have that much power, there must be a control, a regulation on that power. So that's why that you have the restrictions. You have restrictions to the men also. You can say, well, the women don't like their restrictions, so technically the men don't like theirs either. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So that's the difficulty, is that people have to know what their strengths and weaknesses are, and the restrictions that they will be governed by are there because those are specific for their particular nature. And so that's how it works. Does that make sense? So therefore, in the Vedic system, Brahmin ladies knew Brahmin stuff. Otherwise, why would they be married to Brahmins? You know, sometimes it's said, oh, women have no varna because they take on that. That's socially they take on. Yes, their husband's a Brahmin. They take on the Brahmin's social status. That's on the varna side. But on the ashram side, a Brahmin lady is a Brahmin lady. That's all. So this idea that this only looked at socially is wrong. It's not complete. That's why, otherwise, if it's not there, then why would it say equal nature has to be married? Because if it's just a social thing, then anybody can marry anybody as long as they're willing to accept the social position. Right? But it said equal nature must marry because they do have a nature. The women, if the Brahmin woman has a Brahminical nature, she marries a Brahmin man. Kshatriya, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Vaishya, Shudra, Shudra. Does that make sense? You know, and then within that you have the different regions, the different natures, different communities, and they all have their nature, and they work like that. And it functions that way, and they're happy that way. Does that make sense? So therefore, for women to be teachers, what's the problem? The Vedic time is the men wouldn't be, you know, louts, and they would take care of everything, so the women didn't have to do all these things. But if the men are, you know, how you say, see, it's, how you say, without training, then they're not providing the environment, so then the women, being practical, they go out and get it. You know what I'm saying? So you have to understand is that women are clever. Their practicalness is cleverness. And men, then they have the mechanics of being able to deal. They may be clever also, and that's a plus. You know what I'm saying? But they mechanically can do things to get things done, because they can look at the secondary thing without the emotion, and they can absorb themselves and get the work done. But women won't generally put in that effort unless it's going to give that proper emotional return. You know what I'm saying? So they'll figure out ways to get it done, you know, like this. So it's different. The natures are different. Does that make sense? So it's a more, yeah. It's just like this. Let's say you have an elephant, right? So you have an elephant, then do they just let the elephants walk around? Why not? Why can't the elephants just walk around?
They go in everything.
Yeah, because why? Because they're so powerful. So that's why you see they have a chain around their foot. You know, it's not just a little rope or something. Right? So that means it's the strongest. You know? And, you know, and like a cat, it walks around, but it's not that powerful. So that there's that many restrictions in that on women, what does that mean? They're the most powerful. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because the men can't necessarily get the women to do things. I mean, you can be rough and all that, but that's not what we're talking about. Woman just has to smile. Everything happens. Who's more powerful? So because of that power, that's why it has to be controlled. Does that make sense? So if the women don't control, then they can't be controlled. Does that make sense? So without the training and understanding that, then only you can get things to work. And then they can then be, you know, then train and all that, then the boys, that they'll grow up to be actual men who can deal properly. Does that make sense? So it's a very technical thing. It's a very effect that. But if we don't put in the effort, we just look at it from the modern social context. It's one thing if you look at the modern social context that it's working. But it's not working. It's not that women are any happier today than they were 50 years ago. You know, or 100 years ago. You know what I'm saying? It means they'll say it is, but there's not. If you look at it overall, then where's the family? Where's the relationships? Where's all that? And so, you know, you're there, you're the professional, you're in there doing great. And how long is that good for? And then when you get tired, you don't want to smile, you don't want to do all the things, you don't want to dress up. Then what? At home it works. You can walk around in your sweatpants. It works. You can't do that at the office. And so then what happens? Because you see all this jumping up and down. The women are jumping up and down, at least in the outside world. They're the young ones. Young, middle-aged. You know what I'm saying? And the old ones, they figure they're clever, and they figure out how to make it work. I mean, the point is if the woman actually knows the subject matter, you know, and she knows it better than others, then why would she speak? But if you have a bunch of men who could also do it, then the general thing would then why wouldn't they speak? That's the general rule. But the whole point is that they'll say it's not Vedic. But why is it only that one's picked out? That a man would beat his wife, that's not Vedic either. That men sit around and do nothing and just, you know, and don't notice what the wife's doing and this and that, and he figures that he got the money and so his work's done and he doesn't have to emotionally support his wife or the family, that's also not Vedic. But there's a good chance that those who are making those comments are perfectly happy with those points. Right? So why pick that one and get so specific and so Vedic about it? What about the food they're eating? Is that Vedic? You know, the clothes that they wear. I don't mean when they come to the temple. I mean when they're sitting around their house alone. What do they wear? Is that Vedic? Because in the Vedic society, when they're sitting at home, they will wear a dhoti. Yeah, or a gumsha, but they would never go out, because gumshas are considered low class, so they wouldn't wear them anywhere outside. Like that. We think, you know, they're colorful and everything, and they're, you know, something fancy, you know. But yeah, but that's, you know, that's the rickshaw wallets. They get a new gumsha, put it on their head, looking good, you know, it's like that, you know. Yeah, that was, yes. Yes. You understand? So they just, so you'll see that it's, the men can list all the things that the women should do. Can they list, make the list of what things the men should be doing? Well, that's fine. But the women can also say what the women are supposed to do. Yeah. You understand? So that's the things. They pick certain things, and you'll find the rest of it, the culture that they grew up in, if you're doing the activities of the culture you grew up in, removing the sinful activities, then they'll consider that that's perfectly fine, even though it's not necessarily Vedic. But somehow the women have to be super Vedic. But don't worry, it's the women have to be super Vedic, gurus have to be super Vedic, and sannyasis have to be super Vedic. And if there's a sensitivity to brahmacharis, they also have to be super Vedic. But grihastha men never have to be super Vedic because they're just being practical. Go figure. That's the way it works. You know what I say? You can refer back to earlier in the conversation when I was using a particular, how you say, nomenclature for the individuals who you could get by smiling to go out and do the work. That's the context we're saying, idiot. Because otherwise, a gentleman, it works very nicely. It's a cooperation that works very well. Right? In other words, the wife smiles, it doesn't, he does his work. The idiot will only do it if the wife smiles. Or yells, you know. And by the looks of how you say, how things go down, looks like the yelling is more efficient. So the whole point is that women can do these things. Why not? And are the people who are making these comments, are they themselves lecturers at the university? No. So then why are they talking? Because it's in a Brahminical area, so keep your mouth shut. You know? You want to talk about that kind of thing, details there, then, you know, let the Brahmins talk about it. You know, what do they do? Okay, they work at Walmart. So there's no women working at Walmart. They would have a problem with the woman sitting there and, you know, when you check out things or that, or walking around or loading the shelves or, you know, no. So therefore, stick to their area. Does that make sense? Okay. Well. Up here. Who is that sinful man? They call for the sweeper. And then understanding how the sweeper can be, because otherwise we have had one godbrother. He was a taxi driver in Calcutta. Somehow or another, he came in contact with the devotees, became a devotee, became really, really focused and everything, did really, really nice, moved up. He probably gave him sannyas and all that, and he did very well. But there was, I think, a few gentlemen, at least one, if not some in Calcutta, who they knew him as a taxi driver. They could not accept that this guy's a sannyasi giving class and now he's senior to them. Because they were the Calcutta gentlemen, and they went and they paid him his money and dealt like this, and now he's telling them what to, they couldn't buy it. So that's what we're talking about. So on that level, he comes and he does very nicely, and you know, he had a very good service out. He did a lot of personal service for Prabhupada. Like that. You know, he could be right, because very few Prabhupada would change servants every 3 months because they become familiar. But I always remember him always being around, doing that, doing different things, going out and getting things. Prabhupada needed stuff, he'd go out and get it. You know, he knew what he was doing. And so then he Prabhupada gave him sannyas. Like that. So that's what we're talking about. So it's a principle that you can understand or not. It's the same thing, just because the mentalities, these mentalities are pervading everywhere. Now, yes, in the Vedic culture, there are certain things that are restricted. It's not recommended for women to do if they're still in the conditioned state. If they're a liberated state, they could do them, but much of the time you say they don't do them anyway. So that kind of thing, it does mention, but it's much more broad and liberal than the modern culture gives it. But you have to know what is culture to be able to see what the wide range is. Does that make sense? So this thing is that the husband just says, we're doing this, we're doing that, and he doesn't care and everything. That's not Vedic. Vedic is the wife and family have to be satisfied. So are they doing that? If they're doing that, then you can say, women should do this, women shouldn't do that. But if it's a man, no, men do all the this and that. And, you know. So then it's not balanced. It's not proper. So that's then the position, that it's not actually understood how the balance works. What is masculine, what is feminine? Because in areas that require the masculine aspect, it's not going to be comfortable for the feminine nature to do it in a prolonged way. Right? So that's the kind of thing that's there. So activities that the masculine nature can do that the feminine would be uncomfortable with, then they're not their service, the men's ones. Ones that could work both ways, then it can be on both. And then there's activities that are the feminine nature, it's not involved in by the masculine nature. Okay? Does that make sense? You know, just like, let's say, in the Vedic sense, I mean, our Vedic wall is what you're talking about. How are they on gynecologists, of men being gynecologists? Is that okay? You know, gynecologist? Gynecologist. Are they cool with that? You know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about these guys that are saying these other things. So they're going to say, but then what about the men being gynecologists? Right? Because in the Vedic system, the men should not see childbirth. It's just they shouldn't see it. That's why he's out of the room. Right? And then when the, what do you call it? After the child's born, then the husband comes in, they do the samskar and all that, and that, like that. Does that make sense? So you have these things that, but then in the modern situation, then they want the husband to be there. Shortens his life by half, but, you know, hey, you know, then you can get a new one, so. Great.
Why is that?
Just what the Shastra says. Because for the ladies, that kind of pain, it goes with them. For the men, it doesn't work. Like that. Prabhupada said, man had to go through the pain that the woman had at birth, he'd die. Because the women are more attached, they don't. You know what I'm saying? So there's so many things that women would do before that the men, you know. It's just like, let us say, is it all right, you know, say all the senior people are means like the temple president is talking to and training and counseling all the women. Before, that would be done by the vanaprasthas, not by the managers. You know, and especially the women would be involved in that. You know what I'm saying? So there's so many things that are going on that are not Vedic, but we don't notice. So, but it's because women are a hot topic, then everyone has an opinion. Does that make sense? So I wouldn't worry about it. Right? These guys are paying the bills? No, they're paying the salaries. Well, so then what's the point? Right? Yeah. But the whole point is even it's done, it still should be done, you know, in a proper feminine mood. Then it gets done. Because you can get the class to listen by the feminine mood. You try to do the masculine mood unless you're really, really good at it. But generally, it's not the masculine mood that will work anyway. Okay, so. Yeah, I'm just, it means that you either have the smile or the, how you say, female canine, you know, like kind of, yeah. Does that make sense? You know, so it's still done in its own way. Just as the karmis have their way of doing things, devotees have their own way of doing things. We can get things done the karmis can't do. You know, it's like you go to Delhi, we can walk into some minister's, government minister's office and talk to him about Krishna consciousness. The karmis can't do that. They have to be big businessman, big industrialist, some big, big guy to be able to do that. You can just, one of our local brahmacharis can walk in there. Right? You understand? So it's like that. So it's the same way as that men have their system, women have theirs. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole point, is that everybody has their system. Right? So, yeah. If all the, let's say the adults, there's some kids and there's a bunch of adults. Now, if all the adults are paying attention to the kids and taking care and doing things and all that, would people say that's good or bad? Good. Okay. Now you put it in the modern context. Let's say if there was a bunch of men and there were some women and the men were taking care, then they'll say, oh, they're patronizing, they're this, that. But we just said it's good. Right? Because you're taking care. So if you look at it from that, then it's good. If you're looking at it, no, I'm independent, I can do everything like that. But then why aren't we giving independence to our kids? Kids want to do things the parents don't allow, so then, you know, they want to eat cookies and chocolate all day, so then why aren't they allowed? Just because they feel like it. We'll say it's not good. So you have to know the natures. You understand? So, yeah? Good. Something? No?
There's one episode in Mahabharata when the queens of Dwarka, they speak to Draupadi.
Mm.
And just chatting, you know,
with yeah, yeah.
And then she explains when her husband's out, you know, for war, which is basically most of the time,
right.
She manages the empire, treasury, everything she does on her own, and she's successful, and they're happy when they come back, everything is there, everything is running there.
Yeah.
So, and queens actually impress.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it says that they know how to, like we had the other day, we had that point being made about, that was in the Bhagavatam class in the temple. It was talking about when they were dealing with Kamsa. You know, and trying to get him to not kill the daughter. So then she was using all the tactics of diplomacy and all everything like that. And Prabhupada said, because she's a Kshatriya, she knows all that. But at the same time, knowing all that, she won't try to take the masculine role. But it doesn't mean she doesn't know all that and use all that. So wherever it is, like you said, even when they're there, the Pandavas are there, she still manages the palace. You know, it's like if, Devaki, then her father gave her 2,000 maidservants, like that. So those are under her management, not his management. You know? I mean, we have, people in our society that they run a business that they have 2,000 people working for them and everybody, you know, stands back and goes, woo. You know, but the fading, the Kshatriya, they at least had that many. You know, so it's just a standard thing. It wasn't a big thing. And you see some had more. You know, 10,000 or so. You know, it depends upon how big the palace is, what you're doing, all the different things. You know, so she manages all that. You know, but to get all the, you know, but who takes the taxes, right? He does. And then she runs it. So that's the whole thing, is you have to know who's running where and everything like that. So because they're managing that, you can't make it. You know, it's just like she's managing the house. That means the men can't make a mess of it. They have to respect the work she's doing. The kids, they're untrained. They make a mess, but they get talked to, they get punished, they get trained, they get all these different things. So they're tolerated. But once they get up to an older age, they have to stop making a mess. Like that. So this whole thing is the man can do whatever he wants. That's a child. That's not a man. You know? So that's the problem, is that this idea is that men can be big kids, and then it's all, yeah, when the men are just together themselves in the basement or in the garage, then do whatever you like. You know? But the point is that in the mixed society, then it doesn't work like that. So cultured people understand that, and it works, and you don't run into these problems. But when you deal with the uncultured, then it gets out of balance, and then it becomes a problem. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the point, is gentlemen don't have any problem. It's if they're not cultured, they have the problem, and they can't understand, or they can't deal or control the women. You know, because you can only control if you're controlled. You know, it's just like the wife being submissive to the husband makes the husband submissive to her. Does that make sense? And vice versa. So that's how it works. So a gentleman knows that. And so he always deals nicely. Because if he deals nicely, then if we're saying the women follow the men, she'll deal nicely. If he deals rough, she following the man, she'll deal rough. But then you're saying, no, she has to be nice all the time, even if he's rough. But then that means she's independent. She doesn't take any lead from the husband. So she has to, on her own, with her own qualities, maintain proper attitude. And he is not changing or developing, so how is that human? Humans means they're developing, they're moving forward. So then you're taking the one's an animal and the other one's independent. And then you're trying to say, no, this is the men's job and this is the women's job. So it's very, very out of sync. But the point is as soon as then you push it the other way and the women, yeah, then don't, no, that's not allowed either. Because the whole point is it has to match the mood. Has to match the attitude. So that's the whole thing, is there's always this balance. So when it goes too far one way, you mention the other side, like I said, just to balance it. But then if it swings the other way, then there's things to bring it back. Does that make sense? So, yeah. So that's the thing, the Vedic culture, just as much as it can talk about the men being idiots, it can also talk about the women being idiots. But in this case, the discussion is the men are being idiots, so then you're using that other side. Is that yes? No? Yes, but it's been a while since this came up, because that's the thing, is the Chaitanya Charitamrita is taking all that philosophy and culture and then applying it in the devotee's life. So then naturally you're going to see it. So then, but now it has that aspect of the devotional Vaishnava and all that. And before it has that, but it's we're trying to learn the Vedic and all that. So it's much of the time misunderstood. That. You know, because it's taken, oh, we don't follow it, or it's not important, or we're not this body, and great, fine. If you're a Paramahamsa, that's great. But if you're not, then you have to follow the rules that govern the body. Otherwise, it just doesn't work. So, yeah. There are many untouchables in... Oh, see. Okay. When Lord Chaitanya declares Trinadapi Sunichena Toror Ivasi Hishnuna, he indicates that one must be above the material conception of life. Right? Because that's the point, that where the humility is happening above. Right? When one thoroughly understands that he is not the material body, but a spiritual soul, he is even humbler than a man of the lower castes. Right, so they're going to be humble just because their position socially is not very developed. So the point is the Vaishnava will be more humble than that. So we see there's no room for this pride of social prestige and you know, accomplishment and all that. Is that, make sense? Yeah. So yeah, it's not that one has a right or there's a righteousness element there, so therefore one doesn't have to be humble. No, it doesn't work like that. Yes.
This idea of justice.
Yes, that also comes up in here.
Yeah, it's coming from our identity as the body.
Yes, it comes from the idea that that religious activities give bear auspicious fruits. It's karma. Because I do good, I get good results. Someone does bad, they get bad results. Now, if it's just on the individual platform, then if their bad endeavor doesn't affect you, then it's just a matter of them getting the result they deserve. Right? So when you hear later that, you know, whatever it is, they got hit by a Mack truck and that, and then you have that little smile on your face because, you know, it's God is good. It all worked out, right? You know? But when we deal within social issues that affect a wider range, then we don't like anything against that because it will affect us. So when you're dealing in the Pranamoy platform, then the society accepts certain rules that within that I'm okay. Right? Because then I can be who I want to be and follow that. Like we mentioned before, it's like, you know, what about, you know, the husbands, are they taking care when they come home not to make a mess, when they come home, interact with the wife and this and that. They can say, oh, I've had a long day, you know, I can't do that, but why, she hasn't had a long day? You know, so the whole thing like that is... then that's accepted, and if you step on that, then everybody becomes upset because that's their pranamoyic aspect. And all the men think, no, this is my right. And so then that becomes a problem, because who's defined that? Who said that that's the right? You know? And so then you get all the weird coming up from that side. But then the problem comes is that because of this just thing, is that, oh yes, because we've been, you know, put down for so many, you know, thousands of years of this, and then we get into the position, then they do exactly the same thing that the people who have exploited for, you know, this 1,000 years do, and in fact, they can be even heavier. Right? You know, it's just like, how you say, the guy can slap you across the face, that hurts, and it's annoying. But the woman can slash your heart to shreds. That the men really can't do that to women. It's very hard. Right? The woman has an idea of the guy, what he should do for her, and he doesn't, and she's very disappointed. But he can't rip her heart to shreds. So how is that in any way equal? How is that just? You know, and then how does two wrongs make a right? Oh, they've done this, so we'll do it back. You know, then what's the difference? Then when they get a majority, then there'll be the uprising of the, you know, going the other way, and then, you know, and then the men will be more nasty and all that, and you know, it's just stupid. So the whole point is whatever's right, that's what you do, and that's where you stay. So this thing that it just swings the other way, what's the difference? Because if it's equality, then like that. So does that make sense? You know. Yeah, so that's the problem. Is it's identifying with the body, but not how you say, not using the intelligence. You know, it's just like, let's say, you have the element of women being called Prabhu. Okay, Prabhu is a masculine term. It means even if you want to be master, then you know you have a term for that. It's Prabhu. But no, it has to be Prabhu. Okay, fine. Prabhu. It's a man thing. So now in the shlokas and in the commentaries, it's always talking about the soul is he. They go, why it's always saying he? What about the women? But you want to be called he? You know what I'm saying? So there's no consistency. It's just a way to be, it's just a political platform to express dissatisfaction. It's not actually based on the things. Otherwise, then, yeah, it would all be all the one way. You know, like that. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is it's picking and choosing whatever you feel like. And somehow or another, that's fine when the men doing what they felt like is bad. Why is it the women doing what they feel like is now? That's suddenly everybody's got it. That's cool for everybody?
Yeah.
And it's cool as long, yeah, but it's cool as long as there's still, you know, you can do that in your world. Now when it comes down to, if you're going to be controlled and exploited, would you rather have, you know, men kind of more in that kind of position or women in that position? Huh? Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because they're not as good at it. You know, if the women want to control and exploit, they'll be way worse than the men. You know, it's like, what is it? We had one lady here back, when was that? I think it was in the 90s. She was, she would train people in what do you call that? You know, you go out in the desert and you can not die.
Survival
and military and all that kind of stuff. She was like a mercenary. You know, really, really, you know, heavy lady. Huh? Yes. And she was saying that, you know, she was talking to somebody like that. If you're attacked by a, you know, a milita, you know, a group, a group, and it's mixed men and women, she was saying you have to kill the women first. Because they're much more vicious than the men. With the men, there might be a chance that they might consider something. The women, no, forget it. So you have to kill them first.
It's like the counter at the airport. Always go to the men.
Yeah, you know,
not killing, but it's still.
Yeah. Still, it's that. If it's a bad day, it's a bad day. You know? Yeah.
For everybody.
Yeah. Everybody's going to. Yeah, so all these different things are known, but the point is that's the thing. In the Vedic culture, it's all known, but no one takes advantage. That's the whole thing. So the problem comes is in the modern, these things, when they're known, then people try to take advantage. That's the difficulty. There's a weakness, then people take advantage of it. But that's the point, is where the strength is, then you give them that do, and where the weakness is, that's where then you try to step in. So that's always the... So, yeah. Yes?
It seems that a lot of frustration nowadays also happens because, you know, in all the traditions, it's basically patriarchal society.
Right.
But nowadays, women given freedom, they just revolt against it, and then everything comes up, you know, all the whatever happened in the past. But if we looked, everything was, but nowadays it's very different.
It's different because you're not dealing with proper training on either side. So the difficulty comes is that unless you establish, you know, a class of men who are trained, you can't bring it back into line. That's the whole thing, you know. And so that means, and then how that's going to be, that's going to be by training. That means it has to be Brahmins. So you have to train a class of Brahmins who can then train on the cultural level. But the cultural level is a level you're not supposed to talk on. So then that's the problem. So you can't, how do you discuss these things? What's the forum? Because something like this, you'd have to discuss it for some time to remove all the doubts, right? Because to have proper apprehension, you have to remove clear doubts. Otherwise, if you don't clear doubts, you'll have misapprehension, right? Those are your options. Then you have sleep and you have memory. So then you're going to remember your misapprehensions and have doubts. And because of that, you won't get much sleep. But proper apprehension, that's not even on the table. You know, so the whole point is that unless there's dialogue and then, you know, practical things to see and then discuss it and then work it out, and those who do apply themselves to it, they get very good results. But people who oppose it, it's not that it's any better, because you can't, how do you create culture in opposing culture? Or how do you create culture with lack of culture? That's the whole thing. You create culture from culture. Does that make sense? So understanding the culture, then it's there and it has to be discussed. And just because people don't follow it doesn't mean that's not the culture. But you're intelligent. You don't let people take advantage. But at the same time, it's not that you don't know what the culture is and use it when it can be used. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like we said, you're walking around in a big city. Then you don't know where you're going or what you're supposed to be doing. You just don't look like that. You have to look like you own the world. But it doesn't mean you're uncultured. It just means you have an attitude that you're fine. But it doesn't mean uncultured. But the problem is nowadays they think, no, I can be uncultured. It's my right. And it's like, no one has a right to be uncultured. That's the first misnomer. You know, so I've been wrong like this. And then how does that work? You know, it's the same illusion. The guy does something nice and thinks that should last forever. His wife should be nice forever. No, a really good one, you get 3 days. You know, like that. And so the whole point is, so the women make the same mistake because I've been wronged here now eternally, then I can do whatever I want. How does that work? It doesn't work. Because ultimately you have to look at, let us put down to this. This is a fun one. Because now, now, we're saying we're having to follow the culture, right? The culture is what is the culture and the behavior of the energy or interacting with the energy, right? So it's energy-centric, right? So now in this, when we have the sacred we're dealing here, we're dealing within the energy here. Who's in control of this energy? Is it a dude? It's a lady. So ultimately, you don't follow the rules, you're going to get it. And you're going to get it bad because it's a lady. Right? So that's the thing. She won't go outside of things, but she's not going to let anything go. But she's controlled by Krishna, therefore it'll follow everything nicely.
So that's why we say we have Krishna karma?
Yes. Yeah. Because otherwise, it's what we've been experiencing. That's the Maya karma. So Krishna karma, you see, is a whole lot better. So then she's working within that karma. It's just like when you had that aspect where all the demigods, you know, they can't kill the demon. All of them. None of them can kill the demon. So now who's going to come forward? Maya herself, right? And so then they give all the powers and all that, but at the same time, she goes completely nuts, right? And then she has to control, then her husband steps in that relationship, not as a man, but as her husband. Then it controls the situation. So that's the whole thing, because Krishna, how he deals is perfect, therefore then his energies are all in control. And then we go against it and think that we have the right and all this and that. But, you know, that's why it has that patriarchal thing, because Krishna's the head. You know, so that's just the way it works. But if it's done nicely, it works perfectly. Otherwise, you want a man's world where everyone's equal, that's called Mad Max. You know, and if that's what you want, go for it. Right? You know, wearing the same thing every day, day in, day out, driving trucks like that, you know, things blowing up, then yeah, go for it. No? Yeah. So that's then it's fine. Then it's cool. How many generations are needed to establish culture? Means it'll be the strongest when you have 3 generations having the same value. In other words, your grandparents follow Varnashram and they're comfortable, and then your parents are following, so naturally then you'll take up that value and follow. Then it'll be the strongest. But the point is because we're devotees, being convinced that this is Krishna's culture and this is given to us by the Acharyas, then we could take it and start applying it right now. So it can start immediately, but it just takes faith. It takes that understanding.
Practice maybe?
Yeah, well then you're going to have the practice to get it to work. But unless it's being focused on, you know, it won't work. So when people say, oh, we tried Varnashram, it doesn't work. I don't think they say that anymore. That's too long back. That's more the 80s, 90s. Like that, yeah, because they don't even know it exists. You know, that's the basic thing. You know, so that's the thing, is that you just have to wait till those who are opposed to the culture, and then those who don't know, they'll take it up. Like in like the first devotees, they didn't know about it, and they hear about it, and it makes sense, so they followed it. Right? So being a little rough and ready, then they may not do everything really nicely. And so then there's this thing, oh, it's not nice, so this Vedic culture is not good. So then they kind of put it on the side. So then you have to wait until that group's gone, until the next one they don't know about it, then you can introduce it again. You know, it was like Samputan in Hong Kong. Right? The sidewalk there, you know, really wide sidewalks. Like that. Has to be. Because, you know, tens, hundreds of thousands of people walking down the sidewalk. So, and they're really packed together. So it's Asian spacing. You know, it's not Swedish spacing, yes, at all. So you're there, and you have your bowl and your coins in it. You have your book. And then you catch somebody because they weren't paying attention. Then they stop, they see the book, then they go to, you know, either give you money or not, or this or that. But now, as many people as could see the transaction, that many people will not stop. You have to wait for all those guys to go by, and then you can catch the next one. So it's like that. So the point is if one accepts it, you can do. So that's the beauty of it. You can follow it yourself. It will work for you, even if no one else is following and it's not working with anybody else. That's the beauty of the culture. Is the principles of it, you can always follow. The details, then as close as you can, you get. But that's the thing. You have the determination. You follow it. You follow the principles. It will work for you. That's the beauty of the Vedic culture. It is so individual. The same time is it includes everybody, that everybody could work together. All the natures. So you don't find that in any modern social system. Not even close. You know? They can't make it work. It's just like in Israel, the communes, they're trying to disappearing. Right? They just can't get it to work. That's where everybody's there, everyone's equal, everybody's like, you know, everyone's nice, nice.
Internet and TV destroyed.
Yeah. So all these things go. They have some new system there. You can own and like that, and then they kind of have a community.
Yeah, but it's different.
Yeah, it's a little different. It works a little bit. So all these things like that, you know, how many hippies are all sitting around on their communes and all like that. You know, the main problem is you don't have those old VW buses anymore. So, you just can't do it like that. You know?
They make those again now.
They make them again. So there's a chance. See, there's a possibility. Culture can come back. Yeah, okay. America's got a chance now, right? Yeah. I wouldn't mention about the Harleys, but they both got shot at the end of the movie, so.
Another one.
Yeah. So basically, when you get to the point where the individuals who have that faith, they follow it, it'll work for them. But for the general devotees, it has to be that there are leaders who have that faith and all that, and they're preaching it, setting the example, giving the direction and all that. But if you have those that are opposing it and not allowing it to happen, you have to wait until they disappear. And the beauty is, since this is the golden age and it's getting better and better, at least for 5,000 years, then they will go away. Because it has to. It has to be. The Acharyas and Prabhupada aren't talking all this stuff about Vedic culture, and it's not going to happen. It's just a matter of who's going to be involved for it to happen. because it is the system. I mean, even at the age end of Kali Yuga, right? The family that Kalki is born in, right? This is 427,000 years from now. He'll be born in a Brahmin family. Like that. So, say what you want about it going away. No, the Vedic culture will stick, though degraded. And all the other stuff, that's going to go away. Does that make sense? When one thoroughly understands that he is not the material body but a spiritual soul, he is even humbler than a man of the lower caste, for he is spiritually elevated. Such humility in which one thinks himself lower than the grass is called sunichatva. Or being more tolerant than a tree is called sunishnutva, forbearance. Right? So you have the humility, you have the forbearance. So the humility comes by not identifying with the body. So then to say we're not this body and totally identify with the body and use it for political purposes, that's not humility. That's not philosophy either. Right? So one's humble because of understanding you're not the body and not identifying. And then the sahishnutva, then you have that forbearance. That means you forgive. So then it goes back to this point of the justice. Justice isn't important. What's important is Krishna consciousness. So the problem with the aspect of justice is people have done things wrong according to religion. Why is that wrong? It's not supportive of service to Krishna. So the problem is lack of Krishna consciousness. So if the person becomes Krishna conscious, that's the solution. But if we think that, no, they've done something against religion, so we have to retaliate in that way on that platform, and that will solve the problem, it never has. It really never has. Like that. And you can look at any world history anywhere, and it's never worked out. I mean, you have the in America, the classic, the Hatfields and McCoys. Right? And they're still at it more than 150 years. And they're still shooting each other. Right? Like that. So, it's like that. It won't go away. Right? And that's only 150 years. You have some groups have been at it for the last 4,000 or more years. You know, so.
It's still going on.
And still going on.
A very important piece of land.
Yes.
The difficulty seems to be is that investment in Krishna consciousness, it's a long-term investment.
Yes.
But
yes.
Justice happens now, and then everybody is feeling good about it.
Yes. And then tomorrow? Who worries about tomorrow?
Tomorrow never comes.
Yes, true. Yes. You've understood the philosophy. How you say? A true manyata body. Or how you say manyaratva. Like the... Yes.
Almost like mayavada, manyavada.
Yes. Yes. So that's it's a difficulty, but until one gives that up, one will be bound by it. Because the point is you have to be in a material body to get justice, right? Because the spiritual world has nothing to do with it. So the whole point is somebody's doing something unjust. You change the consciousness so that they understand its connection to Krishna, and they function that capacity. You've solved the problem. But now if people want retribution, that's only for their own satisfaction. And so that itself is a great stumbling block to pure devotion. So you have something it's been dealt with nicely, it's been dealt with in a Vaishnava way, and then the thing comes back as no, there's a revolt amongst the general devotees don't accept it and all that, but then whose fault is that? Who's training those general devotees? Why would they think it's an option of something else? Right? Because if you want to follow retribution, then let's look at Manu. Manu tells what's actual retribution. Otherwise, then you do something and it'll bite you in the backside. You know, so therefore, then you can do these things. Right? You know, it's just like you have authority, everyone accepts authority, authority wasn't in some instances wasn't working so well. So therefore, then there's this discussion: we have to adjust this. So then, using retribution, they go in, remove everybody, and establish a new group. But then the problem came is then from that moment, the concept of respective authority was destroyed. And so that's way worse than having people who are authorities, people are accepting that, and they just need to be adjusted. So that's the thing, is these foolish solutions are easy to do because they're mundane. It's easy to get in the mood, easy to get behind it because it's mundane. But to deal with it in the Krishna conscious way, that takes faith, and that only will solve the problem. All right, and so then to make up your own rules how you'll keep it from happening again, then you just make it worse. So that's why you either follow the nice, just straight Krishna conscious stuff, or if you want to deal on the mundane level and all that, then there's mana. You know, like that, and to say, you know, that's the whole point. And as we said, ultimately, Maya's in charge. She runs according to Manu. Manu's just describing how she works, how the modes work. Therefore, if you do this, this is the result. So either the administration takes care of it, or Maya will take care of it, but that's how it's going to work. And he says, no, I'll do this, and it's better. Then the whole point is yes, if there's retribution, then in that time, you'd be purified, right? Because that's what retribution is supposed to do, right? So the person's done something, they do their prayaschitta, then they're purified. And then the society accepts them as purified. You know, if the society doesn't accept them as purified, that means that society is sinful, right? Now, if the point is this, a group takes it that you do this, you know, as retribution, you do that, and then having done that, that same group doesn't accept that you've been purified, then what does that mean? That means their retribution was foolish. It didn't do anything, at least according to them. So then why are they in that position to make those decisions and have that authority? If what they do doesn't work, then shouldn't you have practical people that can make it work? You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. And then there's the thing to, oh no, but it's a mess. But all it is just standard mundane stuff. So it's not something new, something different, something unique. It's just the standard stuff that goes on in the material world. Right? You have the farmer, you get rid of the farmer, the pigs take over. Right? And just the pig wears a suit, that's it. Doesn't mean he's a farmer. But, I mean, so, and that was written how many decades ago? You know, that was written way before all these things came up and were social issues. And why was it? He was just writing based on observation. He's seen that this is what happens. And so, that's all. So it's the same thing. You know, history repeats itself. Why? Because Maya's in charge. And she serves under Krishna's direction. So that's how it works. So that's the point, is at any point an individual can take up the process of devotion and it will work for them. They can follow the Vedic culture. It will work for them. That's just the way it is, because that's how the world is working. You can say, oh, well, the world's not like that. It says, whose world? Maya's world, that's how it works. Krishna's world, that's how it works. If you say, in the real world, then who's the real world for this person? How many people are in their world that know what they know, agree what they do, and do what they do? Of course, you always say everybody, but, you know. Does that make sense? So, therefore, you know, if you're worried about mass, then Vedic culture. The whole universe follows it. So, you know, what are you worried about 7 billion people who don't? Like that. There's more living entities in the universe that are following. Right? Even around you, all the animals, the plants, the trees, everything's following. Like that. And there's more of them, so... And if you take it, well, the humans are, you know, more important. Yes, they're more important because they can follow Vedic culture. If they're not going to follow Vedic culture, the dog will probably be a better friend. You know, he'll act like a dog. You'll be count on him. He'll be loyal. You know, you can count on that they'll be a dog. Well, the humans that don't follow Vedic, you don't know what they're going to be day to day. So that's the beauty of it, is others follow it. You can follow it yourself, and it'll work. And if others follow it, just makes it that much better. That's independence. So Vedic culture gives actual independence. These modern culture, they don't give any independence. You know, unless it's, you know, how you say, go off the grid and live under a rock. Then you have some independence. It's vast, not because it's in the mode of goodness. That's why they fail to understand it. That's the whole point, is that devotion, anybody can understand, because that's the nature of the soul. Mm-hmm. But the Vedic culture, you need the mode of goodness to understand, and that's a material qualification. Mm-hmm. And so you can say, we're not all in goodness, so we can't use it. But you can't say we're all not in goodness, so those who are in goodness, then they should then establish it. And others who are not in goodness should then, according to this, not identify with the body, but know that their body is in this passion ignorance, and accept the authority of those who are in goodness. And follow. Be humble. That's the Vaishnav thing. You know, we're not talking that. But at the same time, is by following devotion, because it's about developing pure goodness, one naturally develops goodness. So that then means all devotees would be able to understand Daiva Varnashram. They won't understand Varnashram, but they can understand Daiva Varnashram. Does that make sense? Because we don't need not Daiva Varnashram. That's for the demons anyway. Unless you want to go down to the lower planets, then don't worry about it. So that's the thing. Any devotee with time and that faith and that purity heart, then will be able to practice it. Yeah, definitely haven't had one of these for a while. but you can see is that the solution is the Krishna conscious. It's not a social thing. It's not a political thing. It's these are the mechanics that you use to support Krishna consciousness, like that. So it's a different kind of discussion. Similar topic, different position. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.